Today we're coming to you from Film West Studios in Missoula, Montana. During my first interview for the show, I sat down with someone that bought an old Volkswagen bus out of a field, restored it, and then did some trips around the country in it. He shares some fun stories and experiences that he had with the bus, and I think that you'd love the interview. If it sounds interesting, check it out. It's the first interview on the Hippie Greg Show with Spencer Porden. During that interview, he mentioned the Bus Movie, which is a documentary film about the iconic Volkswagen bus. He said that the guy that made the movie lived in Missoula, Montana, which happened to be where I was going through next on my road trip. That night, I checked the movie out. I thought that it was fantastic, and I decided to reach out to Damon Risto, who is the producer of that movie. He got back with me, and here I am sitting down with him. I didn't expect to do the first two podcasts about the Volkswagen bus, but the way that that first interview led into this and led into me seeing the movie and it being on the route, it was really serendipitous, and I really like to follow the omens and roll with what the universe gives me, so that's why I'm sitting down here with this guy right now. If you're interested in checking the movie out after you listen to this interview, go to www.filmwest.org. That's FILMWEST.org. Check it out. He also did a movie about the bug. So if you're interested in a little story of Americana, a little history of the 60s culture and what these vehicles signified, you definitely want to check both of them out. I haven't seen the bug one yet, but knowing the quality that went into the first one, I'm sure that one's fantastic. So yeah, definitely check those out. I love everything that era stood for, and really want to bring awareness back to some of the culture that has really been forgotten. It seems to be making a comeback on a grassroots level. There's people living in vans and really exploring a life outside of the 9-to-5. And I think that some of what these vehicles stand for is that it's really following your bliss, having more patience, slowing things down a little bit. And I really think that those vehicles signify a lot of that culture. And that was one of the reasons that I thought this was fascinating to bring this to the podcast and share some of the experiences that people have. And then to have a guy that did a movie about this, it would really dig a little bit deeper into that culture. To offer more insight into that culture, we'd like to welcome the bus movie producer, Damon Risto, to the show.
Thanks, Greg. Nice to be here. If you would have asked me 24 hours ago if I was going to be doing a podcast, I would have said no way. But thanks for reaching out. Last minute, it always works.
Yeah, right on, man. So first, tell me a little bit about how you got into the film business.
I started out studying journalism at the University of Montana. Well, even before that, in high school, I was really interested in photography. So I went to the University of Montana to study photojournalism. And that was in the late 90s. Early 2000s, and it was about the time that the digital camera revolution sort of took hold. When I found out that, you know, these cameras, you could flip a switch and be shooting video and also shoot stills, it was like heaven. So I immediately started supplementing my photography with videos and taught myself how to edit. And soon after college, I started a production company with my brother, who had started dabbling in film work as well. So we started off together and still work together occasionally. Yeah, we've sort of gone our different directions, but we help each other with projects now. God, it's been 15 years now that I've been doing this type of work. And early on, I co-founded a documentary film festival here in town called the Big Sky Documentary Film Festival. And it was just sort of like a pet project that we launched, and it's still around and it's taken off, and now it's one of the premier venues for nonfiction film in the American West, really. And it's just an incredible event, and I'm sort of a glorified volunteer at this point, but it's taken on a life of its own. So, you know, documentary film and journalism have always been strong interests of mine.
Okay, so when it comes to documentary films, that's how I found out about you, was through the bus movie. Can you tell me about when you decided to do that and what led up to you doing that film?
Sure. I don't know the exact date I decided to do the film, but I've always been enamored sort of with the hippie culture. I feel like when I was coming of age in the 90s, there was still, you know, the Dead were still touring, And there was still that last little shred of the 60s. And so I like to say the 90s were the last part of the 60s in some ways. I feel like that's true. And so I got to I got to live a little bit of that watching Fish, just sort of steep myself in 60s counterculture, and was a total wannabe hippie, you know. And I was raised pretty straight. With my parents were never hippies, and but that's, you know, that's what I was, a hippie. I was gonna do this. And so my first car was a 1968 Volkswagen bus that I bought for $600. It was in a field, and my dad had buses when I was a kid, so he knew how to work on them. And I think that was sort of what sparked that interest in a Volkswagen bus, combined with my fascination with hippie culture. And so having that first car taught me a lot about working on it, and just sort of, I was in love with this bus, you know. And so fast forward 20 years later, I had my business was doing well, and I sort of had a little time on my hands. I wanted to sort of take on a personal project rather than just doing client work all the time, and decided that, you know, I wasn't the only one who shared this love of the Volkswagen bus. And, you know, getting online, you see these huge communities of people, you know. You go to the samba.com or any number of Facebook groups, and there's a ton of people out there with the same passion. And so I'm like, you know, there's an audience out there, there's enough material to make a film easily. And so I just started. And that's what's great about documentary, is kind of like podcasting, you can just do it, you know. You don't have to have a huge crew or a huge budget, you know. You have a camera and a laptop computer to edit on, and there's your film studio.
It seems like when you do stuff like that and put yourself out there, that the dots start piecing themselves together. You get one person that tells their story, and then they point you in another direction. I'm sure you had some of that synchronicity when you were doing the bus movie.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the name of the game, was getting referrals, following up on leads and people that were recommended to me. And in the bus movie, the main character is Dave Manning, who's a musician who still to this day travels in his 1965 Sundial VW camper. And yeah, he was recommended to me from someone I contacted early on. And yeah, you just sort of find those little rabbit trails and see where they lead. And sometimes they are dead ends. Sometimes it's what you need. It's pretty awesome when it works out. And it is very serendipitous. And I feel like when your intentions are right and you're following your bliss, your passion, doors open. And you just have to be open to possibilities that the universe is throwing at you. And so the bus just sort of, it really came together in an amazingly easy way. I wish I could do that again, because I've been trying to replicate how that film came together, and it was really magic. It was like, the subject matter was, everyone has a Volkswagen bus story. Everyone can tell you, my dad had one, my friend had one, and we broke down in this little town, and blah, blah, blah. Everyone has a story. And so it was a fun project to work on, because it just brings a smile to people's faces.
Yeah, the bus is so iconic of that era. And when you think of the hippies of the 60s, that's kind of the first thing that comes up, is there's so many of the Volkswagen emblems and pictures of the bus on like t-shirts and things that really like personified that era.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you think of hippies, you think of the Volkswagen bus. It's very representative of that counterculture. You know, it was in the right place at the right time. What really sort of piqued my interest on figuring out this story was, here's this post-World War II utility vehicle that helped Germany sort of pull itself up by its bootstraps after the war, and how less than half a century later, I mean a matter of a couple decades later, it's this icon and representation of freedom and love and the open road. And that sort of juxtaposition contrast was fascinating to me. So in the film, I explored a lot of the history and sort of the making of the icon, and that was a lot of fun. I got to travel and meet some fascinating people.
So in your travels, what's
What's one of the favorite stories that you heard and people that you met of like something that's happened with their bus?
Let's see, man, that's a good question.
I'm sure there's a lot of them in there, but I'm sure there's like one or two of them that really jump out at you.
Yeah, well, there's a story that really is touching that's in the film. I mean, it's a vehicle that brings people together. If you own a Volkswagen bus and you drive it around, you're going to have people approach you. You're going to have people waving at you. And it's pretty remarkable, actually. And if you're not a fan of talking with strangers and a fan of people, it's going to be a problem, right?
Right, yeah.
And so there's a couple in the film that met at a Volkswagen show and ended up getting married and had a sort of a VW bus themed wedding. And that was really cool. And they live in Phoenix now. And just to see the power of this inanimate object, this machine, the power of how it brings people together and fosters community in a remarkable way is, just fascinating. And everyone has a Volkswagen bus story. You know, we broke down in this little town and, you know, had to sleep in the back of the garage and we met these people and it just goes on and on. And so, yeah, it just goes back to sort of being open to, you know, to life and to the universe. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you put yourself on this in the movie. You talk about how everything slows down. And so often I think that people in their modern lifestyles have this go to this place, get a hotel, and see how many destinations we can go to. And they don't ever really see the go to a town and see the inner workings of it, or even have a lot of human interaction for that matter. And it seems like from people that I've talked to about buses, from talking to you, that these things are constantly breaking down. And it's one of those things where if you had, you know, a minivan and it was old and it broke down, well, you'd probably just abandon it and go buy a new one.
Yeah.
And with the Volkswagen, that's your van. Like, you can't leave that thing.
Right.
So I think that really plays in. And you talked some about this in the film, about that aspect of it, that you have this thing that's constantly breaking down and you can't abandon it. So then you end up with these stories that you wouldn't have had if you had a reliable vehicle that didn't play into all these conversations and different things happening.
Exactly. Dave Manning in the film says, you meet all sorts of nice people when you're broke down on the side of the road because the jerks don't stop. So that sort of encapsulates it pretty well. They weren't always unreliable. They're, you know, they have a reputation for being unreliable, but the newest Volkswagen bus, what you'd consider an air-cooled Volkswagen bus, was made in 1979, so almost 40 years ago. So it's an old vehicle. It takes a lot of work to keep on the road. But that's the thing about them, and that's why I think there's still these huge communities surrounding these vehicles, whether you're talking about the Volkswagen Bug or the bus, is they were easy to fix. It originally is the people's car, right? Volkswagen. You could have this sort of confidence and this self-reliance that, yeah, I'm gonna drive this car, and if something happens, chances are good that I will be able to fix it. And that is impossible to come by these days. You know, the cars, they don't want you working on new cars. You take it to the mechanic and they plug it into a computer, and there's no way that you're gonna do that work yourself. And so part of the film, I look at a book that was published in 1969 called How to Keep Your Volkswagen Alive, step-by-step procedures for the complete idiot. And it was written by John Muir, who, not the naturalist John Muir, but he went on to publish a couple more books. But that book, still to this day, is the best-selling self-published book of all time. And it was, I've got a copy
of all time, all, that's crazy.
Of all time, still is to this day.
Wow.
When it came out, it was number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list, and the number 1 was the Bible. And John said, well, we need to be number 1.
Right, right.
We're not gonna let the Bible beat us. It was this sort of folksy, easy to understand manual that was absolutely represents the hippie culture. It's just steeped in this sort of do-it-yourself with kindness and compassion and love. And that book taught me how to work on my van and countless other millions of other people. you know, and so that was, yeah, the self-reliance aspect of owning a bus is pretty cool.
I'll have to check that book out because it sounds almost like it's not just a book about working on Volkswagens, but there's a lot of, from what I heard, some like quotes and life lessons in there that really lead you towards the path of patience and everything that the Volkswagen signifies.
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely worth a read, How to Keep Your Volkswagen Alive. Even if you're not working on your car, it's a great book to read. The opening line is, "Come to kindly terms with your ass, for it bears you." And so that's just saying you would treat your donkey with love and respect and feed it and take care of it, and you should do the same with your car, for you know you're relying on it to take you from point A to point B. And so, and then they get into, you know, you do that work with love and it will reward you, and I think that's pretty cool.
So you said that you grew up and had one. I'm sure you have a breakdown story.
Yeah, the best breakdown story, if you can't figure out how to fix it. So, okay, when I was 18 years old, I totally freaked my parents out and decided not to go to college. I was all registered to attend the university and pulled out at the last second and took my bus down to Mexico for a couple months, and they thought I'd gone off the deep end. And, you know, I wanted to experience sort of the open road and living out of my van and surfing and eating tacos and drinking beer underage. And it was a great couple months, but on my way back home, I had a problem and ended up breaking down several times. And I was just, it was beyond me to figure out at the time what was exactly wrong. But pull over, I'd talk to the bus, I'd tell it, you know, just get me another 10 miles, you know, to the town, and I promise you I'll get you fixed. And so, you know, I'd wait a few minutes, let it cool off, and start it up, and sure enough, I'd get down the road another 10 miles, and it would stop again, and I'd just be talking to it. And it got me all the way back across the border into the United States, which was really my goal, and then I had it looked up. But I like to think that it fixes itself.
Your words have meaning to the vehicle, right?
Yeah, obviously that's not the case, but it sure feels like it sometimes, you know? It feels like they're alive, and they all have little quirks and are different the way they're speaking back to you. But yeah, they're not alive, but you know, you wish they were.
So in the film, one thing that really jumped out to me was this fellow that built the big double-decker. So it wasn't a traditional Volkswagen. It looked like one, but it was like giant. It looked like an inner city bus that would haul people around. Tell me a little bit about that guy and how that came to be.
That bus was built in Phoenix, and it was this art project that was originally built for Burning Man by a guy named Kirk Strawn. And it's just a beautiful creation. It's to scale, but it's, from a distance, it looks like a Volkswagen bus from a long ways away. And then as you get closer, you realize, oh my God, that this is not a normal Volkswagen bus. And it's actually 8 times the size of a normal Volkswagen bus. It is massive. It's built on this old fire truck platform that he built it to scale. So it's remarkable when you're driving around in this thing. And I had the opportunity to go to Burning Man. There's a little scene from there in the film, and rode around on Walter the bus.
Yep.
And a normal Volkswagen bus driving around gets a shitload of attention. Driving around in a rainbow metallic Volkswagen bus that has a sound system you could hear from a mile away that's 8 times the size of a normal bus, it is crazy how it just lights people up. You know, they just can't get enough of it.
It's like rock star status with that thing, man.
Right.
If you build it, they will come.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a really fun art project. The bus in general, you know, has this history of people customizing them and painting them and sort of making them their own. And you think of like the classic hippie paint jobs people would give buses. And so I think it just sort of goes with the theme of turn it into an art project.
So you have Bus Movie that came out in 2012, and you also did a movie on the bug. What was different about, because those are very much both synonymous of the hippie culture of the 60s, but I think the vans more so, but with the bug, that definitely plays into the era too. When you made the two movies, were some of the people or circumstances similar?
They were, yeah. I mean, people joke that the movies are similar, and you know, I could just change the word bus to bug and they'd be the same. But no, there was that overlap for sure, but The Bug is a different story, and it's a completely different film, whereas The Bus is a sort of fun, fast-paced, and not taking itself too seriously. The Bug has a little different story, and it was originally, the design was done by Ferdinand Porsche, and he was hired by Hitler to come up with this people's car. And so it has a little bit of a dark past that kind of freaks people out, and Volkswagen likes to steer clear of their origin story. But I really dug into it and found out some pretty fascinating stuff, that it's not Hitler's car, you know, like people thought. It actually came from a pool of different ideas, people working on this concept at the time. And so I really dig into the history there, but it's the best-selling car of all time. And so it definitely has that iconic status. But they are different. There's something about the Volkswagen bus that, you know, being able to sleep in a vehicle comfortably and being able to be self-contained, and you can load up a lot of people, and, you know, there's a little difference there for sure.
Probably the window too, because in the bus, like, that was something that I never really considered when thinking, like, seeing a bus or somebody driving one, how much different the way that you see the road and the scenery is, because it's like right up against your face. So you have this, in the movie you talk about it being like being in a movie, and when you're on a road trip, to be able to really see the sights at that widescreen lens, that's got to be a lot different than it is when you have the window in a different
position. It's a great point that, yeah, the driving experiences between the bug and the bus are totally different. You know, the bug is great. It's like a little go-kart. It feels like you're driving a go-kart. The bus, driving a bus, is unlike any other vehicle that you've ever driven. Engines in the back, rear-wheel drive, you're sitting over the front tires, and the spring rate is such that every little bump, and, you know, it's like an amusement park ride for adults, is how someone put it. And it's true. It is the Farfugnugen concept, the joy of driving, really comes out when you're driving an old Volkswagen bus.
Right on, man. That's cool. As we get to the end, I had a fun question that I came up with. You get the chance to take a Volkswagen trip across the country with anybody from American history. Who would it be?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, my 16-year-old self would say Jerry Garcia. My 39-year-old self, Jerry Garcia would be right up there.
Why would you say Jerry?
Because he's such an icon. He's such an amazing musician. But, you know, there's always the danger of meeting your heroes. There's an author that said wanting to meet an author because you like their books is like wanting to meet a duck because you like pate. So it's like, you know, sometimes it doesn't really, it's not quite as fulfilling as you'd like.
You like build an image in your mind of what it would be like to be around that person and know that person.
Yeah.
And they have this kind of iconic legend status in your mind. And a lot of times when you meet people, it's different. They're down to earth, and they're not infallible. So they have their little quirks and things, and and nobody's perfect. And we have, especially with musicians and ones that have passed away that really left their mark, I think we place them in this place of the gods almost as to what they accomplished. So
sure.
I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. But then when it comes down to it, they're just normal people. And a lot of times artists, you know, aren't that pleasant to be around. And everything that they could offer the world and offer you, they've already given you in their music or their writing or whatever it may be. So I guess thinking a little bit more about that question, take a VW bus trip across the country with anyone. Thinking about it now, I think I would like to spend that time with my grandfather, who I didn't really get a chance to know.
That's great. Yeah.
I think something like that, where it's a little bit more personal, I think would be.
Well, that's perfect. That's somebody from your personal life, that a trip like that, and that's where the Volkswagen would be. So to have a trip like that with anybody, I think, leads to being special. And so with somebody like Jerry, you'd have your celebrity person that you kind of idolize in a certain way and think it would be fun. And then you have somebody in your life that you didn't get to spend a lot of time with, where the Volkswagen would really lead into having a very personal experience with that person.
Absolutely. You mentioned this earlier, but I'd say the thesis of this film, and it didn't dawn on me until fairly recently, is, you know, it is about slowing your life down and living in the moment and really being present where you are and, you know, stopping to smell the flowers. And the Volkswagen bus really embodies that. Sometimes you're stopping when you don't want to stop, but then you have the opportunity to meet people and see new places and things. And I think that's what's special about the bus, is it forces you to slow down and has a lot to teach.
Definitely. And that's, I think, so much of today's culture. It seems like everything's getting faster and faster, and there's less time for that. People are working more to make ends meet. And so to be able to take and reflect back into something that caused everybody to slow down, I think by showing that movie and getting people aware of it, it's another way to show them about how things used to be, and the bus is kind of synonymous with that. And to be able to bring something like that to our common culture and show, that's like with my business, The Hungry Hippie, I want to do the same thing, is have this, give people a different feeling of how the really heyday of our country was back in the 60s. I think that was a really special time in human history, and the bus really signifies that.
Yeah, that's very true. Owning one today is not possible for everyone. You know, they used to be abundant and cheap, and that's changed dramatically. You know, to own one now costs a lot of money, and, you know, you wouldn't take it on the same adventures maybe that you would back in the day. It's pretty remarkable how the phenomenon of van life culture has sprung up in the last several years. And van life wasn't even a word or a hashtag when I made the bus movie, but it's really about the same thing. There's a whole generation of people that are disenfranchised and feel like the American dream isn't owning a house and having a 9-to-5 and, you know, your 2.3 children, whatever. It's about making the most of your time and slowing down, meeting people, and sharing those experiences. And if you can do it in a Volkswagen bus, even better, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's great, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me here. This has been a really great conversation, and I think that the listeners will appreciate hearing some of the inside scoop on the movie and the Volkswagens, and this plays really well into what I'm trying to accomplish with this podcast. So, Damon Risto, I want to thank you for sitting down here with me, and have a good one, man.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, you too. I hope you get a chance to enjoy Missoula.
All right. Sounds good.
Cheers.
After completing the interview, I had a few thoughts about what Damon and I talked about. The common theme that really went through this interview was to slow down. It's something that I've learned to do in my life more. I tend to have a pretty hectic schedule in the summertime, and during the fall, I really get a chance to relax, go for walks, and meditate, and do all the things that bring me back into feeling like my real natural self. I think that we get wrapped up in the moment to moment, day to day. We're on our cell phones, we're working, some people have kids to take care of, and it's one thing after another. And with our culture of televisions and media, everything is so fast paced, and we're bombarded with so much information that we really lose our ability to connect with other people and with nature. And all of the technology and things in our environment really take us away from that. Personal experience, I found that yoga, meditation, even eating better has a way of connecting us. The foods that we eat, especially if we're eating like potatoes and root vegetables, has a way of grounding our energy. And so I think that it's worth exploring these ideas of being able to slow down. Sometimes it really goes to how we start our day. If we wake up in the morning and we pound a cup of coffee or a pot of coffee and start off that way and run to work and go do our job, come back home, and then we have all these errands and things to do. We really never get a chance to connect with ourselves, and in doing that, it diminishes our ability to also connect with other people. With this topic of the buses and slowing things down, something that I think is a great way to encourage us to slow down is how we start the day. I remember hearing Tony Robbins say this: if you don't have 10 or 15 minutes, you don't have a life. We all have time. It's a matter of how we use our time. And sometimes when we're waking up in the morning, the reason that we don't have time is because we stayed up a little bit too late and we weren't responsible about when we get to bed. If you're able to get to bed on time, you can wake up and you have a few moments to yourself. Practices that I've found that have been very helpful in allowing me to slow down is to do some deep breathing. If you have a chance to do a little bit of yoga, possibly writing down some things that we're thankful for. All of this brings some mindfulness into our life and our experience. I think that it really helps our ability to connect with ourselves, to connect with others, and some of these habits are really important to finding our best selves and learning more about the world that we live in, but it really starts with the morning routines. If there's anything that I took away from this interview with Damon, is that we really need to slow down. And so I will leave you with that, a little reminder: slow down, smell the roses. You can't take any of it with you, so why not enjoy the experience while we're here? And slowing down is going to help you in that process. So I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode, and I look forward to bringing some more quality product your way. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.